I was ready. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians, if you will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. We'll keep us on our toes around here. Amen. Live life with eyes wide open and be caught off guard. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And the flowers here, of course, from the services yesterday for Miss Anna Ross. And they are beautiful flowers. We appreciate them bringing them in here today. Today I want to talk to us about Thanksgiving. And we should be a thankful people. We as believers, we have our eternity settled in heaven. We don't have to worry about hellfire. We don't have to worry about eternal damnation. We have something to be thankful for. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, well, you have something to be thankful for that you don't have to go to hell. You can trust Christ today. And you can be so thankful that He died on the cross for you, and confess your sins unto Him, repent of your sins, and trust Him as your personal Savior, and He will give you an eternity in heaven. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm so thankful for the promises in the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. And I want us to, we're going to read the whole verse here, but I want us to pay close attention to those first few words. The Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now those first five words there, in just a moment I want us to say those words together. These are things that we need to have embedded in our mind. So the first five words of that verse, when I say begin, we'll all read that together. Ready? Begin. In everything, give thanks. Everything. It doesn't just say the things that we're happy about, not just the things that we think are going to help us. No, in everything. Why? Because it's the will of God. It is the, it says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, I'm so thankful that God's never caught off guard. Nothing has ever happened and God says, well, I didn't see that one coming. Now, He knows it all. Therefore, we can be thankful that our God is in control and He's all powerful and we can rely on Him. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get into the message here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You today and Lord, we thank You, Lord, for everything that You do for us. Lord, I thank You for, Lord, not answering some of the prayers that I thought I needed answered in a certain way. Lord, Your way was best. Your way is perfect. And Lord, I thank You, Lord, for reminding us of that over and over and over again. Lord, I thank You for who You are. I thank You for coming and dying on the cross for us. Lord, and if there's anyone here that has never trusted You, Lord, I pray they'd get saved today. I pray, dear God, that they would humble themselves before an almighty God, realizing they're on their way to hell. But Lord, You sent Your Son to die on the cross for us to pay their sin debt. And Lord, I pray that they would trust You as their Savior today. And we ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this time of year that we are in is considered the holiday season. You know, it's amazing. You go into every store and it seems as though no matter what store you've went into in the last 3 months, there was Halloween decorations up and I went into Lowe's, I guess about a month and a half ago and I walk in and I'm met with this 10-foot Santa Claus and I'm thinking to myself, it's October, the beginning of October. And I see Christmas trees and all of these things going on. And we've got Halloween, we've got Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's and all of that. And all of those holidays that are going on during this time of year. But though it's involved in this time of year, one of those is almost completely forgotten.
That's right.
And that's Thanksgiving. You know, I love Christmas. I love the spirit of giving. I love, of course, going through the Christmas story, if you will. And what a wonderful truth it is to know that our the God of heaven sent His Son to be born of a virgin. And we can celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ during Christmas time. But I think too often we go from the hustle and bustle of summertime and into the school year and all of those things and barbecues and picnics and all of that. And from there, immediately we start getting met with Christmas deals now available.
That's right.
And what we find is this. We find that our mind immediately is put into the thoughts of what can I get rather than what can I be thankful for.
Amen.
You know, there's not many things that are put out today about being thankful. Why? Because we live in a generation of unthankful people.
That's right.
And many times you will do something for someone and not even a thank you is given.
That's right.
Not even a head nod. Not even a tip of the cap, if you will, they just expect it to happen. You know, something I try to train my boys to do is no matter who is behind you when you're going into the store, you hold the door open for them. And I can guarantee you this, the doorman always has a job, always. And sometimes it's a line of people that are coming in. You know, it's amazing that when you go up and even just holding a door for someone, how many people walk by, they don't even make eye contact with you and don't even say a thank you, thanks, that was nice of you, anything like that.
That's right.
Now, we shouldn't be doing it for that reason, but God forbid that we would, number one, not do what's right because someone is ungrateful, or number two, that we would be ungrateful in our spirit. Lord, help us. We have so much to be thankful for. You know, as we go through this time of year, if there's something that we can say that's been forgotten about, it is thankfulness. There's many people who do not have the words thank you in their vocabulary when you do something to help them or something like that. Why? Because people are ungrateful. We know that that is simply because of the pride of mankind. You know, mankind, they use these words, well, I deserve. Or they say, well, I should get that. I was at a place one time, and I can remember there were these people that were there. And as a teenager, we were at a teen camp. And there was these other teens that were there and they had done some prizes of some sort and games, and I had won some candy and all that. And this teenager walks up to me and he looks at me and says, you should give me some of that. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I know what I should give you. Amen. But that's just stuck out in my mind. Why? Because people are so ungrateful. People just think they deserve things today. And in this nation that we live in, though it's the greatest nation known to mankind, this nation that we live in just gives and gives and gives. And it's not out of a spirit of giving either. No, it's out of a spirit of entitlement. Lord, help us. But unfortunately, we do not see ungrateful hearts only in unbelievers. Many times it's seen in believers as well. We see it in churches across our land. And church, that should not be the case. We as believers, we should be a thankful people. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, thankfulness is a lost art today, if you will. Warren Wiersbe illustrated this problem in his commentary on Colossians. He told about the ministerial student in Evanston, Illinois, who was part of a life-saving squad. And in 1860, a ship went aground on the shore of Lake Michigan near Evanston. And Edward Spencer waded again and again into the frigid waters to rescue 17 passengers. In the process, his health was permanently damaged. And some years later, at his funeral, it was noted that of those 17 people that he rescued, not one ever said thank you. He literally saved their life. Not one said thank you. You know, as we read the Word of God, many times we are guilty of reading it as a book of suggestions rather than a book of commands. It shouldn't be that way. It is a book of commands. God says, this is the way it's supposed to be. These are things you're supposed to do. These are things you're not supposed to do. He tells us that over and over. If you've trusted in Christ as your personal Savior this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Then look at verse 18. It's a command, is it not? It doesn't say when you feel like it. It doesn't say when everything is going well, when the job is going well and you're getting raises and all of these things, when family is doing well, when your health is great and when there's no problems ever, then give thanks in everything. That's not what it says. In everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, we are to give thanks. It's a command. This is the will of God. And if we are to give thanks, then that means that we are to be thankful people for all things. We are to be thankful for the good and the bad, the bitter and the sweet. We are to give thanks. Every one of us have had good things happen to us at some time in the past, and all of us have had bad things happen to us as well. And many times when something good happens, we are quick to say something like this: well, that is such a blessing from God. But yet, when something bad happens, we tend to get mad at God. We tend to act as though God's not doing what's best for us. Well, if God blessed us with the good and we were rejoicing that, praise the Lord, God knew exactly what I needed and He provided right on time. Maybe it was a bill that needed to be paid. Maybe it was a health crisis and the Lord took care of that, and we're quick to say, I thank the Lord that I serve an all-powerful and all-knowing God and He knows what's best for me. But then a job loss happens. But then the health is turned the opposite direction. And all of a sudden, the one that was saying, well, I praise the Lord for an all-powerful and all-knowing God who knows what's best for me, all of a sudden we're saying, God, I don't know if you're strong enough to help me with this. God, I don't know if you understand what I'm going through here. Rather than being as Job was when he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now understand, I am in no way saying that we are to go through life with some fake joy. What I'm saying is this: God's in control. And the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Not because it's always going to be easy, but because with God, all things are possible. And God knows everything. You know, the truth of the matter is this: this thankfulness that I'm talking about is not something that can be manufactured. It's something that comes from within. And the truth is this: the sweet times in life are even sweeter when we've tasted the bitter times in life. When we've had times in which we were so beat down in life, and we see how God brought us out of that, it makes the victory so much sweeter. Lord, help us to see that as we go through trials. Isn't a blessing greater right after a trial? The same blessing, but when it closely follows a tragedy or something unpleasant, it seems so much greater, and we should be thankful people. So let's think about this for a moment here. If we disobey the Word of God, then that means that we are living in sin. If we disobey the Word of God, if it says this is what you're to do and you do not do this, then you're living in sin. So think about this. That means if we are to in everything give thanks and we refuse to do that, that means we're living in sin. If we're not a grateful people, this is a command in God's Word. We need to be thankful. Ingratitude is a sin. So I want to look at some specifics today and preach to you a message I have entitled, What Believers Can Be Thankful For. What believers can be thankful for. You know, as believers, first and foremost, we should be thankful for salvation. Amen. Without salvation, we wouldn't be believers. We wouldn't be. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, turn over there if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. and verse 15. Second Corinthians 9:15, the Bible says this: "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." You know, that unspeakable gift that we read of all throughout the New Testament is something that we should be thankful for. The Lord Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross for us. He shed his blood for us like a lamb led to the slaughter. He didn't open his mouth. Isaiah 53 goes through exactly who Jesus Christ is, what he went through, what he was going to go through, because it was given prophetically speaking, what he was going to go through, and that's exactly what he did. We as believers should be thankful for salvation. Lord, help us if we as believers ever lose the joy of being saved. This past Thursday, me and Brother Angelo here, we were meeting and we were talking about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I believe we said, May 18th of 2021. Angelo had sent me an email, and I had never met him. He had never met me, but he is driving past the church here on his way to work each day. And he said something just kept prodding him to stop there, meet with someone there. So he sent me an email, and he asked if we could meet. He came into the office the following day, And Angelo trusted Christ as his Savior that day. Praise the Lord. And 2 years later, he's multiplied into four. Amen. It's good to have Judelkis and the kids here too. But 2.5 years ago, he trusted Christ as his personal Savior. And can I tell you this? And speaking to him in the office the other day, he hasn't lost that joy of what Jesus Christ did for him that day. I can remember that day when he told me he feels lighter, is what he said. After he trusted Christ, he said, "I feel lighter." You know, none of us should ever lose the joy of being saved. It's important for us to realize what Christ brought us from. It's important for us to realize where we would be without Christ. Frequent that time in your life. And thank the Lord often for the day in which he saved you. Praise the Lord for salvation. When you think of the ways that we've sinned against God in the past and the very God of heaven, yet he still died for us to pay our sin debt. We cannot help but to be thankful for that. Look at Psalm chapter 106, if you will. Psalm chapter 106, verse 1. Psalm chapter 106 and verse 1. Of course, this is the psalmist of Israel. And he's thanking God for his mercy. You know, when we thank God for salvation, know what you're doing? You're thanking him for his mercy. Because if it were not for the mercy of God, we would all be burning in hell today. Lord, help us. Psalm 106 verse 1, it says, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever." In everything, give thanks. Why? Because his mercy endureth forever. It doesn't matter what we're going through. It's a praise ye the Lord. Of course, this is David that was speaking here. And as he's writing that psalm there, we know that David, he had gone through some trying times. He had gone through some times where he didn't know the way out of that. Literally, he was trapped in a cave and he had his men there. He was anointed the king of Israel. And yet he was literally being hunted like a wild animal. And yet he could still say, "Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks, for his mercy endureth forever." Why? Because he knew the truth that we as believers need to have in our mind every single day, in everything give thanks. Lord, I don't know. I don't understand the situation I'm going through. I don't know why you have me going through this. But Lord, I know that you're still on the throne. I know you're in control. I know you know what's best for me. Lord, help me to get through this. I thank you for this trial. Many times, those words or words like those never even cross the lips of most believers. In everything, give thanks. We should be thankful for our salvation. You know, we do not deserve salvation, yet God makes it available for us. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says this in verse 24 and 25. It says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Each and every one of us understand we were the sheep that were going astray, but yet he still came and he died for us. Why? Because the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. We were the lost ones. It was us. It wasn't somebody else out in this world. It wasn't some just distant stranger. No, individually, he came to seek for us. He came to die for us so that we could be saved. We should be thankful for our salvation. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says this, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Praise the Lord that he is our advocate. We cannot stand before God on our own, but when we trust Christ as our Savior, God looks down at us and he doesn't see us in the wretched sin that we are. He sees us in the righteousness of his Son. Because Christ is our advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, and the advocate is not some apostle or some priest. It isn't just Mary or Joseph. No, it is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because of his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, we should be thankful for salvation, and true thankfulness should drive us into action. You know, there's many people out there that are still unsaved. They don't know what salvation is. They don't know what Christ did for them. Our thankfulness for our salvation, we should be thrilled to tell others about that. We should be thrilled to share our testimony with others. There are many who have no way of making ends meet. They may be homeless or looked down upon society, but praise the Lord, God died for everyone, and it's God's desire to save them as well. It's God's desire to care for them. It's God's desire to save them and give them a home in heaven, because every single one of us were down and out at one point. Were it not for the grace of God, we'd be there today. Act of kindness and mercy from God should drive us to help others. You know, no matter how good of a person we are, no matter how much we have given or helped others, without Christ, we are the outcast. We are the ones down and out. We've been given so much. We've been given eternal life. We've been spared from hellfire for all eternity. And we should be thankful for that. And I believe that we truthfully are. But if we are thankful for that, our thankfulness should drive us into our community to tell others. Isn't it true that we talk about what makes us happy? We talk about what brings us joy. We do. Those of you who are grandparents, you talk about your grandchildren, do you not? It's a good thing. It's a good thing to talk about. Used to be, well, we could talk about when we were happy about what the economy was doing. Well, we lost that privilege, amen. We're not talking about that, at least not in a positive way. But the truth of the matter is this: God says in everything, give thanks. God has given us so much. He's been so good to us. We should be thankful for our salvation. I want you to look over at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. Here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says this: "Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." You know what that's talking about? That's talking about a joy that is flowing out of us, just continuing to flow. If you have a glass of water like what I have here, that glass of water can only hold so much. There's going to come a point where the water is going to start to flow over. Why? Because it can't hold everything that it's being given. Many times we as believers, we're thankful for what God's done for us, but we're not dwelling in the truth of what God's done for us. We're not living in that joy unspeakable and full of glory. And though we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, if we're not drawing closer to God and allowing God to speak to us from His Word and draw us closer to Himself and help us to lay off the old man every day and take on the new, then we're never giving out. But if we are allowing God to do that, that joy unspeakable is going to be flowing over. You know what would happen if I had this glass of water here and I was just pouring water into it continually? The water is going to overflow. What's it going to do? It's going to get onto this paper. It's going to get onto this cup holder here. It's going to get onto this pulpit. It's going to get onto this platform. It's going to go down onto the carpet. It's going to drip down on the kids program down in the basement. Amen. But all of those things, it's going to affect everywhere it goes. If we as believers are as thankful as we should be in obeying the Word of God and everything give thanks, understand if we have that joy unspeakable and full of glory everywhere we go, people are going to see that joy. If you go into Walmart and you have the joy of the Lord, you're going to stand out like a sore thumb because everyone else has a frown. You know, the saying is turn that frown upside down. Amen. Many believers need to hear that. We as believers should be full of joy. Full of glory. So thankful for our salvation. Notice number two here. We should be thankful for the opportunity to serve the Lord. What a joy it is to serve God. To think that the God of heaven desires to use you and me. Ones who were once bound for hell, yet saved by His Son, and He says, I can use that. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 12 and 13. It says this, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And then notice verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. In verse 13 there, you see who was before a blasphemer. He says, at one time, before I trusted Christ, I was this way. You know, the ones who do not trust Christ, they don't have a reason to be thankful. We as believers do. Therefore, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you were unthankful before, you should be thankful today. And be so thankful that the Lord wants to use you. Notice that word there, injurious. You know what that word means? It means ignorant and it means busy. You know, before we trusted Christ as our personal Savior, we were everything that the Apostle Paul was. Everything. Why? Because we were sinners. Praise the Lord. He saved us from that life of sin and He desires to use us today. Paul was writing this letter to young Timothy, a man who was pastoring a church, and the Apostle Paul was trying to encourage him. And he said that he thanks God for putting him into the ministry. Now, we know that every believer is called to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That is our marching orders from Christ, if you will. And by trusting Christ, we have the opportunity to work for Him. And every believer should be involved in the local church. Why? Because that's the biblical pattern of serving through the church. Someone that is saved and baptized and joins a local church, that's the Lord's plan there. And praise the Lord, He gives us that plan and He allows us to serve Him. A person must be saved. They must be scripturally baptized. They must join the church. They should be serving the Lord through the church. But most churches, whether large or small, they have more work to do than they do workers. Lord help us. Why is that? Well, because the truth of the matter is this, because many believers have disobeyed what we read, where in everything give thanks. Because if we are thankful for what Christ has done, it's going to drive us to want to do more for him. Lord, help us to be servants. The Lord desires to work through us, and we should be thankful for that. Praise the Lord with a growing church. We have people that are coming in, hearing the gospel, and praise the Lord for that. But with that growth, we need workers, and a believer must be willing to jump in, must be willing to be involved. There is no greater joy than serving the Lord through the church. We should be thankful for the opportunity to serve him. You know, everyone here probably at some point in their life, they've worked for someone that was not pleasant to work for. I can guarantee you this, the Lord's not that way. When you work for the Lord, you're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're serving the Lord who will tell you exactly what needs to be done, and he'll tell you exactly when to do it as well. Doesn't leave question marks. Lord, help us. You see, many churches stay the same for years with no growth, and if there's no growth, then there's an issue. We all understand that in life. When something is alive, it's growing, it's reproducing, but yet many times we are fine with just being stagnant. And there's many believers across this world today that are stagnant. Just not doing anything. Just going to church and going home and just checking it off the list. Church, we should be thankful that God desires to use us. He desires for us to be busy in his work. And there's something that everyone can do. If you find yourself stagnant, spiritually speaking, today, get involved. Ask the Lord to help you to see what you can do to work for him. Many times we're stagnant. Why is that? Because believers may say they're thankful for salvation, but they are not thankful for the opportunity to serve the Lord. You may say, well, I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve, and we may say that with our lips, but it's never proven by just what we say with our lips. It's proven by what we're doing with our life. No matter what age or condition we're in, everyone can do something. A stranger, tired and thirsty, he made his way down the road there, and he had an arrow pointing to the spring, and he went and he sat down next to the spring there, and there was a basket of apples with a sign reading, "Stranger, these apples are yours. Help yourself." He said, "I'd never seen such thoughtfulness," and he determined to find the one had that act of service, and he wanted to find them and thank him for that. And following that path, he came to a house nearby. He knocked on the door, and he was welcomed by an elderly gentleman. And he said, "I've come to ask the story of the spring," said the man. And the old man told him the story, how he and his bride had hoped to do something for humanity. They had welcomed strangers and rendered service and shared their joy with others. But now 50 years have passed, and they came to find out that what they used to do, they can no longer do in an active way. But they wanted to do something. So they made provision to do one more service to others. And that stranger found that spot, and they found the spring and the cups and the seat and the apples and a welcoming sign. You see, the elderly couple, they knew they couldn't do what they once did, but they knew they could do something. So they did it. Because rather than focusing on what they could not do, you know what they were? They were thankful for what they could do. Lord, help us to live that way. So first of all, we should be thankful for salvation. Secondly, we should be thankful for the opportunity to serve the Lord. And lastly, we should openly and freely express our gratitude. Look at Psalm chapter 69, if you will. Psalm chapter 69. Psalm chapter 69, verse 30 and 31 is where we'll go this morning. Psalm chapter 69. Let's start in verse 29 and read down through verse 31. It says, "But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than the ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves." What we see there is the psalmist is talking about praising the Lord and lifting the name of God on high. And he says, praising God will please the Lord more than any earthly sacrifice that you could ever make. Why? Because when you praise the Lord and you lift up his name and you do that with gratitude from your heart, praising God with your very being, it's impossible to just go through the motions and do that. Awful lot of people in Israel at that time, they could bring their bullock or their ox or their sheep or goat or whatever it was and bring that to the tabernacle there, and the priest would take it and the priest would kill that and put it up on the altar, and they would offer a burnt sacrifice to the Lord. They could do that simply because, well, that's just the day we do that. He says, but when you praise the Lord from your heart, when you lift up the name of God, when you praise him for who he is, notice, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. How does a person express gratitude? Well, of course we can do it with the words that we say, but we see that gratitude is expressed in deeds as well. As we study the Bible, we see many signs of thankfulness. I think of the story of Mary breaking the alabaster box. It was very expensive, but she desired to express her gratitude toward Christ. What was this woman doing? She was taking the most expensive thing that she had, and she brought that to the Lord. And of course, the Lord saw that as an acceptable offering, not because of the amount that it was, but because I truthfully believe in Mary's heart, she realized this is the best that I have. It's not enough to give to Christ, but it's all that I have. But it was very expensive. What about the woman with the widow with two mites when she came and she gave those two mites? There was not fanfare or anything like that, but she gave all that she had to Christ. She was expressing her thankfulness in her deeds. What about the young man that was living amongst the tombs after he was healed by Christ, after he was delivered by God? He was told to go and tell what had happened. And we are told to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When the Lord healed the lepers, only one returned to thank the Lord. But we could say they were all grateful for the healing. They were glad they had been cleansed. They could now go back to their families. They could go into town. They were thankful for that, but only one expressed his gratitude. The truth of the matter is this: if the people of God would thank God more, maybe the world would think of God more. We as believers should be a grateful people. We should be grateful to God, but we should be grateful to men as well. Too often we're so ungrateful. One man was telling a story after a funeral service for a good friend of his, and he said, "I wish he was alive to hear of all the great things that were said about him. I wish he knew how much he impacted people." The truth of the matter is this: that man had helped many, and he had passed. And at his funeral service, they were all met with the reality that they had not said thank you for what he had done. He died. He was gone. And they realized they were so slow to express gratitude. Why is that? Well, it's because of our pride. It's because of that attitude that we talked about in the very beginning, about how I deserve this. You know, pride is destructive, and pride can have no place in the heart of a grateful person. But we as believers, we should be asking the Lord to help us to become more and more like him and less like the world. And by doing that, we will become a prideless people, if you will. Of course, there's going to be times where our flesh tries to rear its ugly head, and that pride will try to come out and all of that. But Lord, help us to be thankful for everything that he does, thankful for salvation, thankful for the opportunity to serve him, and that gratitude, that thankfulness, Lord, help that to flow out of us. And every single person that we meet, every single person that we come into contact with, when we're in a grocery store, maybe someone we don't even talk to, but they can look at us and they can see there's something different about that person. That's only going to happen if we live by the truth that we read. In everything, give thanks. Everything. I think we would all say that we desire to do the will of God in our life. Well, the Bible says that in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's be a grateful people. Let's be a people that when someone sees us, they say there's something different there. When someone sees us, they say there's a hope there that I want to know more about. The Bible says that we should be ready to give an answer when they ask about the hope that's within us. How are they going to see that? How are they going to ask about that? By us portraying Christ. If we're an ungrateful people, you'll blend right in with the world. You're standing in line at the supermarket and there's going to be people that are ungrateful in front of you and people that are ungrateful behind you. And you may be the only one in that store that knows Christ as your Savior. Do you stand out there? Would I stand out there? Or would I just kind of blend in? Lord, help us to be thankful. This is something that every single one of us, we need the Lord to help us. And many days we need the Lord to make our mind and our spirit do a complete 180, because we do not wake up in the morning with a thankful heart. We just don't. But the Bible says that His mercies are new every morning. In everything, give thanks. When we get up in the morning, let's force ourselves to give thanks unto God. When we start our prayer time, let's force ourselves to thank God for who He is. Don't just start out with some list of to-dos for God. No, thank God for what He's already done. Thank God for who He is. Thank God for the way that He's cared for us. Thank God for the way that He saved you and the way that He's using you. Thank God for your family and your friends and your home and your job and all of those things. Every single time we get ready to eat something, we should thank God for providing that. You see, thankfulness is not something that's only seen in parts of our life. No, it should determine how we live. We should be a